Chris, Kim, welcome back. So much fun to see you guys. It's been a long time. I think the last time I saw you like this was in person, maybe at TPNX.
TPNX.
Over
right.
A year ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. It feels like it was yesterday, but it also feels like it's been a really long time. I guess that's what happens when you're not doing much. The team there has been incredibly busy, going to push out some new updates, some pretty cool stuff that they're doing. But let's talk just a brief history. For those of you who don't know what Millkeep is, Chris, Kim, why don't you just tell listeners out there kind of what it is you guys do and how you got started?
We got started because we went through the fun experience of trying to digitize all of Chris's flight records. Yes. Chris is a C-17 pilot, and we literally sat in the basement and typed things into a spreadsheet over the course of 3 days.
Yeah.
And we decided that that was silly. There was far better uses of our time, and maybe we should look into some kind of a solution. And we couldn't find one, so we decided to create one. And that's where Millkeep started.
I remember when I first heard about Millkeep, I was furious because it hadn't started about 3 years prior to when Millkeep first came about, because I could have really used it back then. Maybe too late for me, but the next phase for a lot of people is going to be crazy because of this pause of hiring. The next, I think, and I'm hoping that a lot of folks are seeing that there's already been some talk out in the majors world that they're going to be hiring possibly by the end of 2020 because of some staffing issues.
Oh my gosh.
It's, yeah, there's some, a lot of it's rumor and conjecture, but if that's even, that rumor's being floated, and we've already seen at a couple airlines some staffing shortfalls in the way that they're operating right now. If summer, I don't know if anybody's seen this, but I saw a small article in the summer how booking is already up 200 to 300% for some international travel, which is, if that's international, stateside, it's going to be bonkers. And I hope the folks out there are ready. And one of the best ways to get ready is to get the hardest and most painful part in my mind is your logbook set to go. So with that, how does, for those of you who don't know, Millkeep.com, great website with an awesome video on how Millkeep works. If do you guys just want to go over a quick explanation of that before we launch into what these new updates are going to be for all the returning and new users that do come out of the woodwork?
Yeah,
so it depends on what service you're in. So we started out just purely Air Force. That people will scan their records, which are all paper records. The Air Force actually just started to get away from paper records. They're not keeping them anymore for you. They're handing them back, and they're kind of starting fresh from what is currently in the system. And they say, well, we can keep things digitally now, but we're not going to do any of the historical stuff. It's kind of scary. They just hand you the paper folder that they had and said, good luck. But customers will scan that into a PDF and upload it. And then our system uses optical character recognition and a whole bunch of proprietary algorithms to data crunch it, put it in, digitize everything in a military logbook for you. And then based on a whole host of preferences that you can set, we'll convert that time into a civilian logbook too. So you have everything ready for airline applications.
We should say that is the Air Force process.
Yep.
It's different for Army, Navy, Marines.
Yeah, everyone, of course, why would the Department of Defense have a standardized system? So no service uses the same system, and none of them account for time the same exact way. And none of those four different ways, Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines, none of those are equal to the way that FAA is accounting for time and the way the airlines want to see it. So we built the system out after the Air Force version released. We had all the other services kind of clamoring, hey, why don't you have this for Army? Ours is terrible. Can you figure this out? It took us a little while, but we finally built it out. So now Millkeep can accept any record from any of the four services and convert everything into a civilian logbook for you. So those are the two main things that you can do with Millkeep that you can't really do with any of the other electronic logbooks is you can log things exactly the way that you would log it in the military, and it does all the translation for you. You don't have to change it all in your head and then input it into a civilian logbook format the way most electronic logbooks work.
You can also log civilian time from Millkeep as well. That was a feature that we added a couple years, 2 years ago, I think.
Yep.
Buying time.
You can do it all right there if you want to.
And I mean buying time as in not buying hours of flying time. I mean buying time. I'm a big believer in I'll pay money to get time out of the deal. That's to me, even just my little baby conversion of just my Beach 1900 time, which I needed a log for my contract job, that took me, I would say about 6 hours, and that was only like 2.5 months worth of it. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, and that was just trying to I was recreating the wheel on some of that to go, okay, I signed for the airplane these days. Did I, you
right.
know, and then just going back and finding the record, which obviously is my own fault. But, so for those of you out there who are going through this process and it seems daunting and overwhelming, I'm not going to lie to you. It totally is, like, it's daunting and overwhelming. So,
Definitely one of the first things that you want to tackle when you're starting to look at it.
That's what I was going to say. Perfect segue. It is one of the first things you want to tackle because I think it's the hardest. And get those hard ones out of the way because there are easier ways to do it. And I'm a big believer in the 4-hour work week. If I can automate it, I'm going to automate it. And to me, this is with all the other stuff that you may want to do before you go out to the airline universe and try to prep. In all the ways that you're going to prep. I mean, there's some stuff that you can't get around. You got to go get your ATP. There is no way around that one. Other ones that are highly suggested, interview prep, CTP, that's another one you have to get. But there's things that you can automate along the way. So that's working in the background to get you ready to go faster. And the thing is, don't become a cheap airline pilot until you become a cheap airline pilot. Like, go use those beautiful active duty dollars to help gain some of that time back. So when you do go on terminal leave, you can enjoy yourself a little bit. I can't stress that enough. I wish I would have done it. I wish I would have had the opportunity to do it. I guarantee that it would have been a lot easier than the way I try to piece it together. So now that we kind of got the background of and my thoughts on Millkeep out of the way, what's this new update that you're about to release onto the Millkeep world?
So I say, back it up just slightly.
Okay, sure.
When we finished all the services, we were looking at what can we do next? So we did a couple of more summary pages specific for Southwest and things like that for the airlines, for people transitioning over the civilian world. And then we got a call from the Airlift Tanker Association, ATA. We got a call from them saying, hey, would you like to be industry partners with us? We realized that some of our members are transitioning. Not only that, some of them are Guard and Reserves in the first place. It's not all about being active duty Air Force, and we want to be able to help people. So they started bringing in civilian companies. Obviously, TPN was also an ATA kind of industry partner. And we started talking to a lot of the senior leaders there. So wing commanders would come talk to us. They were kind of shocked and surprised about what we could do with paper records and putting them into a digital format. But some of them were saying, well, what can you do for the enlisted corps? Because really that's like 80-85% of the Air Force is enlisted, not the pilots. So they don't care about their flying records as much. But the one thing that they do share in common is paperwork administrivia associated with the post-mission process. So one of them being filling out air medal paperwork. If I have an air medal or an aerial achievement medal, I have to go back in time, find all the flights that I did, the mission histories, find a mission number, and then I have to fill them all out on a form. I have to type everything out. I have to write a citation. And there's no good, easy way to do that. So that was the first thing that we decided to tackle. And now in Millkeep, whenever you insert a flight, you can tag it as an air medal event or an aerial achievement medal event, and you can build a digital portfolio for a medal. And when you hit the number of flights that you would need, so usually it's like 20 for an air medal, you just click download form and boom, it automatically populates the form for you with 20 mission numbers, mission symbols, where you went, how you flew, how long you flew. And it takes all of the time out of that associated with having to go back, find all your mission histories, type everything out yourself. It's all automated and finished for you.
Wow. That is, yeah, here's another thing that I wish I would have had about 18 years ago, 15 years ago. I probably have 12 or 13 air medals outstanding, and I think I have one to my name. So I might be hitting.
You did okay.
I might be hitting you guys up here shortly to get that done. So how does? I mean, I assume it works in the same. You had to add some. I'm not the tech expert of the group. That's Matt. We know that. How did you add code, software, whatever, to capture that data and be able to then present it? Because we have guys who, I mean, who are doing that, scrubbing the record, trying to figure that out. And it sometimes they get lost or confused in how to figure it out themselves. So how did you guys tackle that?
Well, we got a good team of coders. Yeah. I would say, without getting into the nerd stuff for sure. Of it, you know, we're the people with good ideas on a cocktail napkin, and we hand it to them, and then we test it. We're the dumb UI people. Right. They say, hey, this does not look good. This does not make sense.
This doesn't work.
But we have the background and the subject matter expertise in the flying and the Air Force world that we know what the paperwork should look like at the end.
Sure.
And we tell them, hey, here's the end product. And it's just going back and forth with the coders as they're building it out, making sure you have a good testing process. So at the end of the day, what you really want is as you're logging things, I just wish I could tag it, or if the system would automatically tag it if I logged combat time or if I logged combat support time. The system already knows.
It's a lot of that data we're already tracking.
Sure, yeah.
So okay. It's just a matter of building in the functionality that we could.
Building a system that recognizes it, right? Because at the end of the day, all I want to be able to do as an air crew member, pilot or loadmaster, boom operator, whoever, is I just want to click a button that says download this form, and it automatically populates everything into a PDF so that I can just hit it and send it to the applicable training shop, exec shop, whoever that needs to log something for me.
I get it now. I like it. How do you foresee the future of this growing or integrating more with the SARM community, harm world? Because that question's out there a lot. I mean, we have mutual friend ProFlight Blue, Tyler Allerding, who's got this software package that kind of all meets. This is all of you in that space are all working towards the same nexus of, it's a one-stop app on your phone for a pilot who gets done with a sortie to be able to enter their mission accomplishment report, and everything then is essentially done for them. I mean, that's where so if that's the end goal, and we're not close to that yet, how do we keep moving there? How do you foresee that going?
I personally see it happening one thing at a time. I think the big problem that a lot of large companies have problems with, like when the people who build GTIMs, they try to build everything that's all encompassing all at once. And really, if you just start out with a good base infrastructure and start building upon it piece by piece, like we started with just flight records,
right,
transitioning over to what other part of the post-mission paperwork process is a pain associated to the aircrew. I've got, you know, 10 air medals or whatever. So putting that out, doing all the paperwork for that is just awful. So went after that. And now actually what we're just about to release is a ground currency tracker. Oh. So 1522s, right? Everybody hate. And I just got a text like 3 days ago from my DO. He's like, hey, you didn't log whatever, umpty framp. And I said, no, I totally did. And he said, well, we need another 1522. It dropped out of ARMS. So we can pull it up and we can show you a quick demo of it. But basically, you log something in Milkeep now, and all you have to do is hit send, and it will send it direct. It automatically generates the 1522 PDF. It's got a spot where you can sign it with your finger, or your instructor can sign it with a finger. It sends it directly to the SARM. So it's not trying to bypass the SARM troops. They're still the gatekeepers for ARMS, but they now have a digital copy of everything. You can attach.
And so do you.
And so do you. Yeah, so you can digitally attach a handwritten 1522 if you were in a class. You can digitally attach a certificate if it was a CBT that you had to complete. But the part I'm really excited about is when inevitably they say, hey, we can't find this 1522. Can you send it again? You can just go back to that record, tell them exactly the date that you sent it, and just hit the resend button, and it sends it back to them. You don't have to find a computer with a CAT card, log in to a .mil site, download another thing, and then send it. You don't have to do any of that. You just go to your phone and hit resend, and it does everything right there for you.
If I can be a testament to this, I'm not going to talk disparagingly about any software that's out there. I'll caveat this whole thing. I have much to say, but I'll keep my mouth shut, which is a rarity. But I have used other products. And one of the big things that I've noticed that the Air Force has not aspired to yet. I'm not saying they're not trying. I just don't think they've aspired to, because like you said, they're trying to eat the entire elephant in one bite. And the mobile application universe of the Air Force in general, I can't speak outside of the Guard or AMC really, but is not quite where I think they want to be. And I'm putting that as mildly and nicely as possible, as politically correctly as possible. I foresee and have used software much like what you are discussing. And that to me is the absolute future, especially when you are a part-time pilot. It is when you do not go to work every day, or boom operator, load master, a part-time SARM troop, it doesn't matter. When you go to work twice a month and you have no concept of even, when you're spending 4 hours logging into a computer, well, you've just, for you non-guard and reserve folks out there, 4 hours is one entire pay period. So for those of you who are not military at all, you just wasted some tax dollars on paying us to try to log into our equipment, which is just, that's a foul, and we need to fix that. And this to me is the avenue in which we fix it and are able to do this from home and get the pain part knocked out, so we can go and we can concentrate on the stuff that's really important, mission accomplishment and training, because we know that that is huge, especially when most of us haven't had contact with folks except for flying the line in the cockpit. We haven't had the same debriefs or the opportunity to meet and talk flying stuff to keep our younger pilots moving along in the same direction we used to. So I think this mobile movement is amazing. And I want to personally thank you, because I know it may not benefit my career, but the next phase of pilot is going to have that opportunity that we used to get all the time through different means, but they're going to be able to condense some of that time they're spending on the queep that we've been trying to get rid of for years. And I want to thank your team for being part of that process.
Well, hey, Chris has been complaining about this for like 15. I mean, this is like a service to himself.
I built this for me.
All businesses,
you guys are happy to use it as well.
That's all. All businesses. TPN, Kim, I don't know if you know that, Chris. I don't even know if you know this. TPN was built on one premise, and that was my selfish obsession to get hired at FedEx. I didn't, so I guess TPN was a failure. But the whole thing was I didn't know how to ask for letters of recommendation from people that I knew. So I basically created TPN one day sitting at Bagram Air Base as a contractor, going, who do I know at FedEx? And put them in a little Facebook group and said, oh, I'll just put all the pilots I know from Facebook in here. And that way we can all talk about how to ask for letters of rec and sound like jerks to each other. So the most successful businesses are normally the ones that are the most self-serving in the beginning and then end up helping everybody, because they realize the problem. Hey, nobody wants to do queep. It's the bane of my existence, and it's the bane of the SARM folks at my unit's existence, because I suck at paperwork and they have to deal with it, and that wastes their time. And this is alleviating that horrifying cycle that we get into with these with some of this paperwork. So we're probably going to do a demo at the end. So sure. For those of you listening, we'll finish up the podcast portion, then you can head over to YouTube and you'll be able to watch the demo and see how all of this works and gels together. So stay tuned for that. All right. So I think we covered some of the updates that are being released here shortly. Anything else that you want to cover that's coming now, as opposed to maybe 3-6 months down the road, any big ideas that you see on the horizon that you want to share? Or is that, is that close hold at Mill Keep Central?
We're pretty tight-lipped about this stuff in the hopper.
Excellent.
I'm sure you probably noticed that once one team has a good idea and it comes out, and then there's a lot of people who come out and try to do the same exact thing, just not as well. So,
We also try to be pretty dynamic. So yep. We might next week get a bunch of recommendations from customers who say, you got to have this. And then we'll charge towards that.
Yeah, so there's like five things in the hopper right now, but you know, we've had that before. And then a customer writes in and says, hey, why didn't you guys do this? And I'm like, oh,
that's a great idea.
Why didn't we think of that? So I'd say like half of the time we're derailed by great feedback from users, which is kind of only growing. Like the subscription portion of this, where people like now they've got their initial tranche of stuff complete and they want to continue making sure everything is up to date, has really grown, which is great. It's fantastic.
Yeah, we try to set like three major goals a year, three or four, mm-hmm. and then we just get filled in with all the other suggestions from our wonderful usership
who have
been so supportive. So
yep.
Well, let's, you know, we can, we, that's part of the, so we're trying out a new scenario based podcast thing where we're going to kind of have three subsects of our podcast, like a pilot side hustle. Then we just have the regular TPN podcast, which is informational in nature. And then the third one is kind of Matt and I together talking about just our personal feelings about stuff that's going on in the industry, kind of our touch and go format that we like to do that's a little shorter. And we're starting to slowly break these things apart. So the problem with this podcast is it incorporates all three, because there's a little bit of that entrepreneurship idea of, hey, we've got three major goals per year. And then we get derailed and we have to kind of work our way back. There's a little bit of aviation insight and news, in my opinion, on everything. And then finally, it's just the regular TPN podcast with a lot of information out there. So I think that is something that folks should take a look deeper into at Millkeep as to what it can do after you're done with that initial tranche of information, like Chris said.
Absolutely.
Therein lies, and I think that's with all things with TPN and with all these other companies that sponsor and support us, but also those companies that we're out there promoting for no other reason than they exist and they do good business and we don't really necessarily have any ties with them. And then same with the nonprofits that we like to support, is getting that first or last job is just the beginning of what the rest of the future has for you. I know Chris and I are in that same boat. The day I moved on to a new job, or my last job, if you want to call it, I thought that was like, oh, I'm done. And then you realize, nope, that's the first day of, it's really the first day of the rest of your life. And that tends to be every single day thereafter. So for the folks out there, again, who this is their first time hearing of Millkeep, where can they reach either of you or the team easiest?
So we're really responsive to our Facebook page. We respond right away to that. We both get pinged on that one. team@millkeep.com is a joint account that we look at. And then anything that you want to know, there's contact us information at millkeep.com also.
Email, Facebook,
Okay. Ways. Great. So email, Facebook, we'll have those linked up in the show notes. And I want to thank Chris and Kim for joining us. Again, for those of you who are listening, head over to YouTube and you can see the demo that they're going to do. We're going to do a little shared screen action here. We're going to leave the beauty of their beach house.
It's in beautiful.
Is that Maui or where is that?
This is our kitchen.
It's just tropical.
It's just our kitchen.
This is my state of mind.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. So Kim's got the Fiji state of mind and we're going to leave that. We're going to head over and we're going to start doing the demo. For everybody else out there, remember, keep the shiny side up and the greasy side down. Have an enjoyable new year, because that's where we're headed fast. Whether you hear this in the new year or right before, I hope 2021 starts off wonderful for all of you. Fly safe, everybody.